This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, hope and growth. I'm Anna.
And I'm Omri. We're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in.
Kia ora and welcome to the Hope Centre podcast, a project put together by Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust with the help of ORFM and Platinum Recruitment in Dunedin. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please reach out to us on our Facebook page or email admin@lifematters.org.nz. Kia ora, I'm Anna.
And I'm Omri.
We're both senior peer support workers at Life Matters and we'll be your hosts for this conversation about hope, healing and Harry Styles.
And Harry Styles. Ooh wee. That's the, as it was. Yeah. You know what? Maybe we should slide into Harry's DMs to try and get him on. I'm sure he'll see it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's worked for you in past.
It has, yeah.
Done a lot of that outreach of guests for the podcast, so you never know how far you could go.
Yeah, and that's what happened this time as well, just sliding into someone's DMs and seeing where it goes.
Yeah, okay.
Exciting. Today we have a pretty amazing human being, someone very thoughtful, someone very brave, someone hilarious, someone named Darcy. Welcome, Darcy.
Wow. Pressure to be funny on this, man. Okay.
Just as high profile as Harry Styles, of course.
I like to think so, right? Yeah.
And because Harry replied back going, hey, I don't have time, but this cooler person is available. My ghostwriter, my shadow writer.
Yeah.
Darcy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, kia ora. I'm Darcy. I currently work as basically kind of a student support person, helping uni students kind of when they're studying abroad from the U.S.
Nice.
But yeah, I have moved to beautiful Aotearoa around 3 years ago.
Very cool. That's cool as. And so how we start our podcast as well, we start as we end, where the guest before leaves a question for the next guest. So I'm not sure if you're an avid listener or not.
I'd hope so.
I hope so. I think Harry got you onto it.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Classic Harry. Yeah.
But the Colette, who owns the Inkpot book studio in Dunedin, left the question, what was your last 5-star read?
Dun, dun, dun.
I feel like it doesn't have to be the last book I've read.
Well, that's the question, but we don't live with you. We don't know.
Yeah.
What your last read is?
The most recent best read.
I think that would have to go to Priory of the Orange Tree. It's I forget what her name is. I think it's like Shannon something. But it's a really good fantasy read. It basically takes place in the world of dragons and knights but it's so much more than that. It's got some crazy levels of like politic intrigue and like
amazing
religion. It's very, I will say the first 25% of that book, I had no idea what was going on. But once I understood, it was great. That's 5-star read.
I feel like that's so common of fantasy books is that the first like 20 to 25% is just gibberish trying to work out the world building elements, the political elements. And then it's like, okay, now I understand.
And then like
it just kind of goes from there, right?
Yeah. And then like half of it is like, okay, I have to flip back to the map. Okay. I have to flip back to
the
map. Okay, where's the glossary?
Where have they walked from?
Where have they gone? Yeah. Where is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But it was definitely a 5-star read. 5 out of 5.
Well done. If there was a tagline for it, though, 5 out of 5 stars. Darcy says.
Probably be, you like dragons? The book for you.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so we expect to see that on the back of the book next time.
Perfect.
You're a high-profile guest, you know?
Me and my bestie Harry Styles are.
100%.
Oh, perfect. So today we got you on to talk about a few things, with the overall theme being about, you know, taking opportunities and doing things not in spite of fear or despite anxiety, but kind of alongside, alongside anxiety or the unknown. That can be scary for a lot of people. I know a lot of people we support at the Hope Centre, kind of the unknown or the anxiety can be quite inhibiting, but sometimes it's nice to see, you know, you can have that, still do something, and let's see where it goes. But firstly, kind of When you finished studying, did you have...
Sorry, can we explain the state that you're in at the moment?
What state am I on? The cat?
The face paint.
I've forgotten about it.
I've just been staring at it.
Omri is sitting between the two of us with yellow highlighter on his face. He looks like a cat.
Meow.
And I stopped. I didn't think about it for probably about 10 minutes until I just looked your way and I saw some whiskers on the side of your face.
Mm.
This is the kind of day that we've had, really, isn't it? Just like a silly, goofy mood day.
And it's only just occurred to me right now that we'll take the photo for social media after this.
So then it'll make sense for, like, when you're listening.
Perfect. You know? Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Good job.
Perfect.
So after you listen to this, you need to go to the Life Matters Instagram at life_matters_NZ and see Omri with the yellow face paint on.
See, it's a great plug because if you just are like, well, Omri's got something's going on with his face, you have to go to the social media page.
Yeah,
exactly.
I shouldn't have said it was yellow cat face paint. Yeah. I should have just said you need to,
you need to go look.
Anywho, back to the task at hand.
Let's bring this train back on these tracks.
Yeah.
But when you study and especially finishing study, it can bring up a lot of unknown anxieties of, we've been in the structured time for 90% of our life and what do we do now? So when you finished studying, did you have any ideas of what you wanted to do versus what you actually did end up doing due to a little pandemic that the world had?
Well, panoramic. We love it. Yeah. No, it's actually really crazy. So... background, I studied at the University of New Hampshire and I studied wildlife conservation and biology, which is very different from what I do now, which is crazy how life happens that way. Mm. Also crazy to think that that was, 6 years ago is the start of the pandemic?
Yeah.
I don't like to think that that's after I graduated uni, but that's
so fast.
But so I was truly on the path to probably become an academic. I was thinking about doing master's, PhD, getting into field work, getting outside. Did not have any job lined up, though, which was good at the time because then, March 2020 happened. But no, it was that my idea of what I was going to do, get into the field, probably do a lot of research. And then because of the pandemic, I actually did end up doing some research. And I ended up doing a lot of research in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, which in doing small mammal research is just like a bunch of us, people who are like abiding by COVID rules as much as we could out in the woods in the White Mountains, catching like mice and chipmunks and squirrels. I had a colleague who got bitten by a flying squirrel and that is hurts apparently.
Was it a Spider-Man kind of ordeal?
Oh, like that he became, we never try it afterwards.
He became Flying Squirrel Man?
He's turned into a flying squirrel.
Maybe that's what he's doing. He's fighting justice and gliding. But then after that, I basically went back home to Connecticut for a while and then, as we did, collected unemployment, was on the benefit for a bit.
Yeah.
And then went out to Oregon where I did... more research. Hated it. Then I ended up going to Catalina Island where I became a outdoor educator, kind of summer camp vibe. But I would never have ended up there if not for the pandemic, which is crazy. Like, it's crazy to think that it was a crazy time that we were in, but how much things would have been different if it didn't happen.
Yeah, you can really see the butterfly effect with that of, thinking of more research or more academia, but how that kind of took you into a different way of education.
Mm-hmm. Like, I probably wouldn't have met my partner if I, in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like the pandemic threw a lot of stuff up in the air for a lot of people and was probably a good time really to have a break and like reflect on what people wanted, but actually what was also possible because a lot of stuff was not possible.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's so crazy to like think of it and it's kind of like when you're thinking of people, right? Like you can be multifaceted. Like people can be bad people and do a lot of bad. Like I think obviously the pandemic did a lot of bad, but it is like kind of hard to be like, well, I guess it did do some good. Like people are able to spend time at home with their families and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
100%.
And but it's as we're talking about unknowns, kind of the unknown of for those who aren't quite aware of US geography, as saying Connecticut, I believe, that is on the East Coast.
Yeah, nice. Good geography.
Then, yeah, Catalina.
Glad someone knows.
Yeah. And then Catalina Island being kind of more than the West Coast because it's just off the coast of California, off Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. You did your research. Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Sounds like someone who's been to America once or twice in his lifetime.
I think four. I don't know. Four, I think. I swore after my first time I'd never go back. But because of a lot of unknown. But, yeah, when moving across country for a job, what sort of things were you weighing up?
Oh, it's so fascinating. So I basically got the job because I had a friend who was working at said summer camp and was like, hey, do you want a job? And I said, yes, I would love a job. But there was a lot of crazy insecurity, I would say, about, okay, I did actually move out to Oregon. I drove cross country with my sister to take this job and had a little bit of a mental breakdown and then ended up moving home again. And then to do that all over again was a very interesting and, you know, obviously anxiety inducing because you don't want that whole thing to happen all over again, especially too when you're moving to an island off of the coast of California. Mm. You know, you don't want to. It's even harder to move, I think, than out of rural Oregon. So. Mm. But that was at least weighing that. And then also just like stuff that was happening back home with like friends and family, like having to move that far away from them. That would have been the farthest away I would have moved for a undisclosed amount of time. So it's all the field work I did was contracted. So you'd have an end date versus this one. Yeah. So this one would have been in an indefinite job kind of thing, even though it was seasonal.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of, you know, wearing up kind of connection and people that you know versus, you know, in air quotes, progress of what career or work could be. For you, did you find you had support to make those decisions? What did that look like for you?
Yeah, again, I'm very, very lucky that I have a really great support system of my family back home in Connecticut, and that they've always been very, you know, proponents of, hey, you got to go out there and explore, especially like my parents who lived out on the West Coast for a bit. And more specifically, my mom lived out in California for a bit. And then I wouldn't count, I guess, Arizona as West Coast, but like more West, you know, when you're from the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
And so they had lived out there for so long and really always talked about us kind of getting out there. And I think for COVID, they were probably overall everybody being in the house. So they're like, get out of here.
Yeah, go find something else.
All the pigs back in the sty.
I know. I think they were like, and same thing with like my sister is a big traveler as well. So it's like always pushing the you know, idea of going off and exploring and starting new jobs. And also they were like, oh, this is a job. And I think they think that you'll like it. So
nice.
It's like that hard thing. I imagine a lot of parents go through, but also like what a lot of people weigh up for themselves is leaving family and leaving those supports behind, which I know thinking about life and thinking about moving forward, that is always a consideration is, you know, who am I leaving behind? My parents, they're getting older. My brother, he's doing this and that. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into making that choice.
Yeah. And it's also interesting because I do find one of the kind of cultural things I've noticed about New Zealand is that it is such a big deal if you're going from South Island to North Island. Like that is a far trek, or even moving to Aussie, right? Like that is such a trek versus the US is so big in that when I was studying, I was only ever, farthest was 3 hours from home versus this would have been 5 hours via plane to get home, you know. And then also a boat ride and, you know.
A bit of a boat.
Which I struggle to even comprehend in my brain how one country is that big.
All starting with some, was it 13 colonies? Expanding out. What a time.
Yeah.
When, like, what did you find helpful or unhelpful in your decision to make those moves to was it Catalina Island?
Yeah. So I guess what was really, sorry, your cat face is really making me laugh right now.
He looks so serious.
But what helped me make that decision probably was more of, all right, I knew I didn't want to do research anymore. I had started it. And my university, basically, in our wildlife conservation program was a very pipeline of like, you were going to be, if you were studying this, you were going to be doing field research. And so for them, the other option to be basically like marine science education, which is what I was like started out doing at this marine science camp, It really was kind of like, oh, like, could I basically be stuck with a bunch of children on an island teaching them how to like learn about fish and stuff like that? Like, could I do that? And I think I was also just more excited that my friend who had referred me was also going to be coming out there with me. So I was really lucky that I had that one person that I did know and but knew myself well enough that I could be friendly and personable enough that I could kind of put myself out there. That definitely was helpful. Unhelpful in my decision making, probably just thinking about people pleasing and being like, oh, like all the people I'm going to be leaving, you know, and like I had a close friend who had some like tragedies in her life happen at the time. So I was like very much like felt so much guilt being like, OK, I'm going to go move farther away from you and probably like the support system that you need. But she was one of the people who pushed me to go do it. So, you know,
it's that give and take between wanting to be part of that person's support system, but also wanting to take opportunities for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I know a lot of people kind of weigh up in terms of, do I take this job? Do I take that job? Do I move? Do I not? Especially in your 20s, I feel like it's a, you know.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage, really, isn't
100%.
it?
100%. And I think that's when you are the most indecisive, right? Yeah. So, you know.
100%.
Yeah. Because, you know, it sounds like there are some doubts there about moving. Do you mind sharing if there were, like, why you think you had some of those doubts? You mentioned kind of the friend who went through some tragedies. Was there anything else that you were really doubting, like, should I do this? Or I tried something similar and it didn't work out?
Well, I think what's so unique also, I know we were talking about before about the pandemic, but I think that definitely changed things of, you know, what is it even like out in California? It's very, you know, the way that the country is reacting to it is going to be very different, obviously, than it was here. And so having to then decide if that was something I was going to put myself into and or also, like a lot of the doubts were like, is it going to be like my previous job where I got out there, couldn't do it and just decide to quit? And I didn't want that. I wanted to challenge myself. And so it was kind of like this internal battle of, I remember too, it was funny when I got the call that I got the job. I remember on the phone saying, okay, I'm going to take the weekend to think about it. And like my boss at the time, I remember him being like, oh, okay. And then it was really funny, like 5 minutes later, I was like, why did I say that? Like, I want this job.
So,
And then I remember emailing him immediately being like, actually, I do want the job.
Yeah.
And I remember him emailing back being like, best news I've heard all day or something like that.
Lovely.
But he, like, it was just such a funny thing where I think there was just that initial like, oh, wait, is that what I want to do? And so there's that quick, like, oh, whoa. Or maybe I was trying to play hard to get. I don't know.
You
know?
You get so caught up trying to work out whether you've made the right decision.
But, like, and especially, I think, with jobs where you're, like, you feel like you need to take the, like, you have to say yes to it because it is a job. And I think, especially at that time where, like, any job was far and few to come by. And I think even now it is hard to be like, wait, I don't have to say yes to a job. And so there was that inner turmoil.
They were way up between the values of like, do I want a job that X, Y, Z, or do I just want a job? And like, what am I sacrificing to take this job? Like, it's hard. It is hard.
Yeah. Especially because you talked about kind of Oregon and Oregon being hard. Was there anything about that kind of going, okay, I've done that and it was hard and I had to quit. How do I know that this is different?
Well, I think also to circumstance, right? So like with this research job out in Oregon, it was just like had a lot going on personally, had a lot going on with the job itself. It was not a good fit. And it was also a very isolating role in that I remember feeling like I used to listen to a lot of true crime. And I remember being like, I am the story of the true crime. And I remember being like, I don't want that. And of course, I talk about it with much more like humor and stuff, you know, because it's funny now.
Hindsight
is always funnier, right? But that, you know, it was something that I had thought about with this job, but I knew going into this job on Catalina that I was going to be with people. I was going to be in better like accommodation and circumstance. I had also like spent time at home before then to kind of help out with my own personal, you know, things that I needed to go through, and spend time with my family and everything. And so, yeah, it was just a really, I think I had this like taken that summer time to kind of prepare myself for like what was to come next. And then, and as much as that job wasn't for me, it helped me learn like what jobs could be for me and what job not to take and what kind of are my like, you know, deal breakers when it comes to jobs, you know?
Yeah, I can really see
my career.
Yeah, and can see the learning opportunities that the learning growth that you have taken away from that. Yeah, even though maybe not a positive experience, you've definitely found some silver linings or some things that you have learned from. Nice. Well, I'm wondering if we should take a quick message from our sponsor.
Oh, maybe. We'll see what they've got for us, eh?
Yeah, let's see what they have to say.
Looking for a change in workplace? Or seeking a team member who truly fits your culture? At Platinum Recruitment, we believe people come first. That's why we take the time to understand not just skills, but values, and what success really means for you. As proud sponsors of the Hope Centre podcast, we're committed to supporting healthier workplaces and stronger communities. Whether you're hiring or ready to take your next step, talk to Platinum Recruitment. Visit platinumrecruitment.co.nz and find the right fit today.
It's not bronze, it's not silver, it's not even gold. It's going platinum. Yay. It's Platinum Recruitment.
Thank you, Platinum Recruitment. I think that's what you attempted to do last week.
And panicked.
And had a week to think about it.
It didn't quite work, but I'm glad it's landed this time. But we're still here with Darcy talking a bit about her experience finding the right fit in jobs and a bit about the pandemic and taking opportunities, and kind of covered a whole lot of bases here. And I guess a bit of a switch from that, talking about moving across country to moving to a new country. We talked a wee bit before about the anxieties and fears about moving across a country. But, you know, moving to a new country is another whole step in itself. What did draw on from your previous big move to prepare for this one?
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think that is such a fascinating way to think about it, because I haven't really thought about like, oh yeah, I've moved across the country, but then when you're moving to a different country.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think whenever I've made decisions like that, I've given such little thought to how, like, not that the outcome, but I do think that especially with the Catalina Island and even the Oregon job, like, I was just kind of like, yep, I'll do it. Like, I want to go and do that. Like, let me go and explore. And so I think especially with moving out here, I was just kind of like, yeah, sure. You know, like, what other place is going to let me, you know, start out on the working holiday visa? You know, rest is history from there. So it was really fascinating to be like, yeah, I'm just going to move not only across the country, but then also across the Pacific Ocean onto this tiny little island.
To, like,
you know,
almost the furthest way away.
Literally, that's
get.
What everybody says to me.
Yeah. But yeah.
Was there anything that you feel like, you know, hearing a quite a impromptu or kind of trigger move almost? Do you feel like there was something that you were like, okay, I'm going to prepare differently for this?
Well, obviously, I had to prepare more for visas and stuff.
True.
So,
yeah.
Like, I think having to think about,
you know, thought about that.
Yeah. I know you guys don't have to.
We just realize our privilege down here. Yeah. We can kind of go anywhere and dip our toes in little things. The same for every country, is it?
No, I know. Well, I was just going to say, I had a nightmare situation when I came out to Australia for the first time and didn't know I needed a visa. And that, because that U.S. passport weight is a little bit different of a weight when you're going to different places. Getting to the airport and being told that you can't get in was a crazy thing to happen, but it all worked out, you know. Definitely all of the paperwork was interesting, and having to get, like, medical exams and, you know, other things. You have to be, like, ready and proof of income, all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is interesting because I think, again, with that, you know, these jobs – first off, starting as a contract, then seasonal. But it was something that, at least with the Catalina Island one, I knew going there that it wasn't going to be for forever. Like, I knew that I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life there. But that's what's, like, crazy about being here now, is that I'm like, whoa, it could be. It could be New Zealand. It could be Australia. It could be going back to the – I mean, not back to the U.S. right now. But it is something that it is, like, now that I've gotten through life, it is, like, things are becoming more
feels
indefinite.
More like a permanent move.
It's crazy that happens when you're like, oh wait, there's not some timeline that I need to be. I mean, besides my visa's expiring, but, like, you know, like, but like, once you kind of are on top of that, there's not really anything stopping you, right?
Yeah,
it's crazy. Could end up anywhere at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, any.
Wrong sponsor.
But I think too, as I said before, when I went to the States the first time, I swore I'd never go back. And it's something I don't think I really think about, being in a Western country, going to another Western country to have culture shock. But that's why I didn't want to go back. I freaked out and there was such a drastic culture shock. Have you found any? And if so, how did you manage?
What was it like to first be here the first time and get to know everything? Because I can imagine it was a bit crazy.
Yeah.
That's what's so fascinating about, I think, when you come to like, and maybe this is some American arrogance, right? But when you're like, I'm going to a country and they all speak English here, you know, or like, we can all communicate in some way. But I do think there is such a, like, I think obviously if you are somebody from maybe the United Kingdom coming here, or like, great, you know, that region of places, you would probably have more of an understanding versus, I think, Americans going anywhere. It's harder for us to go places versus, I think, if you guys went to the U.S., you're like, this is what I've seen in the movies. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Versus, like, I think, I don't even know what my first New Zealand culture, it would have probably been either Lord of the Rings or Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
Would have been my first.
Classic. Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Classic introduction.
Yeah.
Or maybe, what was it? What We Do in the Shadows. Like, of course,
right,
Taika,
of
you know?
Course, yeah.
But yeah, so it's interesting where that level of, you know, if you're not seeing it and kind of getting that like cultural education from other ways, like a lot of it, I think more culture shock, I think, would have been for me. And maybe, I don't know, for you when you went to the U.S., if you felt that had more culture shock, or would you have been like, oh, I recognize this from movies?
I think the size of things really didn't compute in my head. Mm-hmm. So I first went to the U.S. on a family holiday to Los Angeles. We went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And everything being so big, it was so hot. It was so hot. I had a designated seat in our hire car because every time we got out, there was a Omri sweat mark as I got out.
No
one else in the family wanted to sit there. So the back left-hand seat was mine.
Oh, nice. I think even like comparing, like, I mean, I haven't been to the US. I'm so untraveled, probably because my first year out of school was COVID. So thank you.
Good circle back.
Yeah. But like even going to Australia and like searching up places, or like, oh, we want to go to X place. And then you figure out it's like 2, 3, 4, 5 hours away.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, that looks close to me, but it's actually not. And it's because like we can pretty much get anywhere really, really quickly. So even that's hard to comprehend, you know?
Yeah.
I can imagine America is like a
even stuff. Just trying to get across LA is wild.
Yeah,
it's like all of New Zealand right
it's
there.
Not just Centre City to Mosgiel.
Yeah. Like, are we going to take 3 Mile Hill?
Yeah. Past the Mosgiel sign. Oh.
I went and visited a friend in Mosgiel last night.
Yeah.
And there were lots of road cones all around the Mosgiel sign.
Oh,
it was quite funny.
Yeah.
People put it in
like
between.
People being pranksters?
I think it's people, being a little bit silly.
I love finding those cones everywhere.
But it made me think, because like we are so exposed to American culture through like social media and movies and that kind of stuff, but it's not really the other way around. You don't like hear people intentionally put on New Zealand accents just for like the fun of it, you know?
Because then they just sound Aussie, and then it's like,
and even last week talking to Colette about her audiobooks.
Yeah.
They're intentionally making American characters because it's easier to find American voice actors versus the other way around.
Yeah.
It's like, we're so Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I was thinking maybe I should start talking in American accent to trick the
hear it.
to trick the listeners that I'm you, but there's no way could I do that.
Ooh. No.
Yeah.
No, let me hear it.
I can imagine that coming into New Zealand and being exposed to different cultures and different ways about thinking of things has kind of, you know, it increased your worldview about kind of certain things. And, you know, we see some things differently sometimes. I'm wondering if there's been times where your worldview has been challenged with different social norms.
I mean, I think, again, we can get not political, but like I find it very fascinating where when I came here for the first time, just the level of like the way that Americans view Indigenous people is very differently than New Zealand and Maori. Like, and like I know there's 100% like terrible history and all these other things. But I think as well, we also have very terrible history. And I think that was such a like something that was so eye opening, but it's such a cultural norm here about how much like Tadeo is incorporated into school. I mean, schools nowadays, like I want to say like very modern of this as well. But I think as well, like that you would never have seen any of that in the U.S. Like, I think the most we would ever do is like a Thanksgiving where you like are pilgrims and the Native Americans, which, you know, you could argue is historically inaccurate. But it also is very fascinating of just that like level of connection and, you know, cultural connection, which is cool.
Yeah, and like we don't want to get too political, but I think even like a lot of that we see from America is like politicians almost like celebrities.
Yeah.
And like here it's just not like that.
No, that's so
and I
true.
Just can't fathom following a politician and being so diehard to that level. I find that really interesting. And I think thank goodness that's not expected of me, because that's not where I find my like joy and celebrities and like that kind of stuff. But it's really interesting to me that it's like,
no, my one of my colleagues had said this recently too when we were talking about the differences, and that she was saying, oh, I could tell you Barack Obama's like all of the everything that he's ever done with his wife and his kids' names and like their dog. But then she was like, I could not tell you like Chris Hipkins if he's married. Yeah. I could not tell you if
recently remarried, I believe.
Recently remarried.
But it's like there's so much level of like, I don't know if they're like, I just, you would never have known that level of personal information about somebody. But yeah, that's actually such a good point. That's another good culture shock of just like, this like, I don't know. Not that like nobody cares is a bad word to describe. It's like nonchalance.
Maybe
like,
different priorities. Yeah.
It's like not idolized necessarily, but it's 100%. An important part of, you know, society and something.
Or even like, even if you see like what, like a quote unquote local celebrity, or if you see somebody who's like a New Zealand celebrity, it's not like, a, oh my gosh, it's like, a, oh, hey man, how's it going?
You know? Hey, this is my friend's cousin.
Exactly. One person removed all
the
time.
Down the street and like walk past like All Blacks or Highlanders or like whatever. And it's like, oh, you know, that's just kind of them. Buzzy.
I was having lunch with a friend in Auckland, my brother and some other people in Auckland, and we're at a sushi place, and Art Green from season one of The Bachelor New Zealand sits down. Going, it's Art Green. And it was the end.
It's not like, oh, look at all these people fucking Art Green.
wearing his Waz jersey.
But
and
isn't that
sushi.
So funny that that's probably like the level of celebrity that you'll come across in New Zealand is like Art Green from The Bachelor.
Season one.
Oh, that's so funny.
The thing too, when you talk about nonchalantness before, something a big shock that I noticed was in terms of the nonchalantness of clothing. I hate shoes, and so I often wear bare feet around here, but I would get judged to the max if I was in the States. I was walking, you know, if I went to the supermarket or the grocery store.
That's good.
Thank you.
Was it?
If I went to Vons, with bare feet, there'd be a, you know, I feel like I'd be getting looks.
And I definitely think so as well. But I think that's the other thing is like, there's like a beachy island, like beachy town vibes. You
probably
might get away with that as well.
Yeah.
But you would definitely be like, oh, like, well, that person, what are they doing over there?
Yeah.
You know, just those culture, you know, keeping left. It's another one, you know, having to do that.
Yeah.
Like, there's just always little things, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you could probably walk into a grocery store, supermarket, anywhere in New Zealand, probably in bare feet, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But you definitely couldn't do that everywhere in the US, could you? It's like time, place, state. You know.
Also gross.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but on New Zealand soil.
Those Walmart stores.
I was the first time I ever went to Australia, it was in their winter, but it was like New Zealand summer, like in the Gold Coast. It was like 22, 23, 24 degrees. And there's people walking around wearing puffer jackets. And I just couldn't fathom that.
That's fascinating.
Because we were literally, because we were like in a shorts and like t-shirts and like our flip-flops on, you know, and they were in puffer jackets. And it's like, you know.
That's wild.
It's just crazy to me. It's what you get used to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine all of this change and like kind of jumping from place to place has come with its challenges and comes with its reward, but can also like take its toll in some kind of ways. And I'm wondering what looking after yourself looks like for you through times of change or maybe times of uncertainty.
Ooh, I think, and maybe that's why, again, New Zealand is such a great place to do this, but like anytime I can get outside, like I do think that when I've figured that out about like such a great thing for mental health is just like touching grass, right? Like it is such a, like, I know we joke about it online, but it's such a, like, it is so important to like actually literally go outside and like sit in the sun. And that's like genuinely like what I would do is just like go for a walk out in the sun or in the bush. And I do think that, yeah, like literally just seeing greenery or honestly ocean. I think we should have doctors prescribe that again.
Yeah.
Afraid going to an ocean visit, you know, like I would love to be just go and sit by the ocean and heal.
Nice.
That sounds similar to someone else. I know. Maybe you should go sit by the ocean together.
Speaking to one of the people.
Well, they make green prescriptions for exercise. They can make blue prescriptions for the ocean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get in on this. Let's start messaging some doctors.
We'll put our heads together and do something. We'll talk outside of the pod.
100%.
Have you found any like fun spaces or what are your go-to spaces in not only Dunedin but maybe New Zealand?
I feel like... Well, like St. Clair, St. Kilda's is a great shout, right? But honestly, Abel Tasman, such a great, like, I think that's been my personal favorite that I've been of just, you know, having it be so lush and wild, but then these beautiful beaches and like beautiful crystal clear water. You know?
I heard they also have very good fish and chips.
In Abel Tasman? You know, had a really good fish and chips was
Raglan.
I went there recently. They had really good fish and chips.
Really?
Maybe again, they're all nice close to the water. So.
True. Yeah.
Talk about seafood. Talk about Kaimoana. Come on. New Zealand.
Look at you go.
Definitely. Is there anything that you miss from the States?
Ooh, honestly, it's always food. Yeah. Always food.
You know what I miss from the States? A Dr. Pepper dispenser. Oh. And I've never even been to the States.
You're missing what could be.
That's so the best.
Funny. Dr. Pepper drinks dispenser.
Yeah.
Like Trader Joe's tote bag.
I'm going in a couple of weeks.
Please give me one.
No, it's so fascinating. I think there's just a level of convenience, right? Of there's so many things that when I first got out here, like, again, and maybe it's not like a good thing that you can get like summer fruit in the middle of winter in the U.S., but it was something that I was so accustomed to. And then when you come down to Dunedin and you're like, whoa, 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 I have to eat an apple if I want a fruit? Like, whoa.
$5 for a cucumber?
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that's a hard, hard adjustment because like you're so right. We're very seasonal.
Which is like, arguably probably better for the environment, right? And like imports and...
I've heard also better for our bodies in terms of our bodies are meant to eat seasonally because our bodies because our bodies need different things in different seasons.
I've never even thought of that.
You need that hearty potato in the like midst of winter.
Yeah, and you might be eating it and feeling miserable because you're eating it, but like, you know, that's what you need.
And my knowledge of this is walking into the last 5 minutes of an RNZ article 5 years ago, so don't quote me.
Yeah.
Quote RNZ.
This is going to be a newfound reframe for having to put up with wintry fruits and vegetables because I definitely like summer. Fruit.
Oh,
elite.
Yeah, counting down the days.
Talk about another culture shock. Southern hemisphere versus northern hemisphere. Yeah. My birthday is a July birthday. I've always been a summer baby.
Yeah.
And having it be a middle of winter, it was a little bit jarring.
When it's getting dark at like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
I don't know how you winter babies do it.
Yeah.
That's such a good,
right,
such a good thought. Because it was my first time, my second time going to the States. My second and third, I believe, actually. It was because I'm the opposite. I'm a winter baby, but over there had a summer birthday. And I don't think I actually really thought about it. But I also think I don't really think about it. I have completely forgotten my birthday before and people have come up to me and gone, how's your birthday going? And I've gone, it's your birthday tomorrow. And I've gone, is it? So, yeah, just don't think about it. That's such an interesting reflection.
It's like warm Christmas.
yeah. It's been nice. I don't mind it.
Okay.
Do miss some white Christmas, like a snow. Then you just watch a Christmas movie and you feel a little bit better about it, you know?
Yeah. What sort of Christmas movie would you watch?
The Family Stone.
That's
the go-to with the fam.
Is it the one with Luke? With Luke Wilson?
Luke Wilson, yeah. Good job. Yeah. Good job. Do you know who else is in the movie?
My head was saying Carrie Fisher, but I knew it wasn't Carrie Fisher. It's Diane Keaton, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know your stuff. It's almost like you might have seen this movie before.
I think I might have, but I can't remember when.
Yeah.
But going favorite.
Great movie, I recommend.
Favorite summer fruits?
Apricots.
Really? I feel like I never hear that as an answer. I respect that.
It's also Cuba's favorite summer fruit. Apricots, strawberries, raspberries.
Because you're not a cherry person, are you? Because of the pips.
I do like cherries. No, I love cherries as well. That's very Christmassy fruit for me. That's probably when I would probably throw back a few cherries is on Christmas.
Yeah.
I'd probably say, raspberry, cherry. Ooh, yeah. I don't know. I do, like, and again, another new fruit to the arsenal is Vigella.
Yes. Is that's your favorite fruit, isn't it?
I do love a phage. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's a summer fruit.
But it is
very, very good. I'd say it's up there for fruits
in
general.
It's summery-esque. Like the taste is summer.
It feels like summer.
Yeah.
And
that's what your body needs at the time.
Yes. And it's in summer that I start going, when is Fijoa season? But I would say cherries is probably my favorite. I remember my partner's mum once said, like, the amount of cherries you eat, that's an expensive addiction. And I've said something of, good thing it's only seasonal.
Yeah. You only have to do it at certain times.
Exactly. As I was buying my 10 kgs of cherries from a market on the side of the road.
I mean, 10 kgs.
And I bet those were the best cherries you've ever had in your life.
They were really good.
Good stuff. Yeah. Well, Before we have more cherry chat, I think something tells me that the sponsor wants to have another chat.
Oh, let's hear what they have to say.
We'll see.
Looking for a change in workplace or seeking a team member who truly fits your culture? At Platinum Recruitment, we believe people come first. That's why we take the time to understand not just skills, but values and what success really means for you. As proud sponsors of the Hope Centre podcast, we're committed to supporting healthier workplaces and stronger communities. Whether you're hiring or ready to take your next step, talk to Platinum Recruitment. Visit platinumrecruitment.co.nz and find the right fit today.
From all your needs, whether hiring or recruiting or upskilling, Platinum Recruitment.
We haven't had any feedback on these intros yet.
But no. But if you do, please email admin@lifematters.org.nz.
Yeah. Thank you, Platinum Recruitment, friends of the pod.
Yeah.
I heard you say that before and I really liked it. I'm pretty sure we've probably said it a million times, but it's slipped from my brain.
Yeah, shout out Platinum Recruitment.
Back in there. We're getting towards the end of the podcast today. So thank you, Darcy, for joining us.
Of course. Time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun. It's been really nice to get to know a wee bit more about you, your story, and kind of what brings you here. Good stuff. Before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts or messages that you'd like to share for those who might be listening and struggling?
Yeah, I feel like, and again, it's so hard to like say this as advice to people, right? Because I would say, hey, you should go and do it. Like, I think when, YOLO, right? Bringing back those days of, you only live once, might as well go do it. But that also is like not always feasible physically, mentally, financially for many people. And so I think there is as much of the advice as I'd want to give is just kind of like knowing that you are more capable of what you like believe that you are. And so sometimes I think there are a lot of like things in our past that you'd probably think would hold you back more than that. But I just say go for it. Like, you might literally YOLO. It may be cringe now, but it's a great way to live.
Sees who.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cringe is a mindset.
I always think of the Lonely Island song, which when it stands for you ought to look out.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's featuring
That's not what I'm thinking.
Featuring Kendrick Lamar and Adam Levine. But yeah, and I really like what you said about
that.
Yeah, not a problem. But I really like what you're saying about believing in yourself, that even if there are those barriers that are stopping bigger things, it's still the having that belief in yourself that you are capable. And yeah. I think you've shown that through a lot of the things you've done, what you've shared today. So thank you so much.
But again, I know that I'm very like privileged in my sense of like, I could just go, you know, I was just like, yeah, why not? You know, but I also think for that person who's on the fence about doing things, why not?
Take that opportunity. Cool. Well, we've reached the final five. I don't know if you've listened to the podcast to know, but the final five is a series of like quick fire-esque questions, and then we'll invite you to leave a question for the next guest. We recently changed the questions in the final five, and I quite like them.
I do as well. I like the flow.
Yeah, I feel like they've been working out pretty well. What are we going to do? Take it in turns?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I'll start. When do you feel the most like yourself?
I think when you're with the right group of people, that is when you really can feel like yourself. I think as me, who is a self-proclaimed extrovert, I do find that most of my feeling of when I like am a belonging or feeling like I'm, you know, being myself, quote unquote, is like when I have that level of like somebody's being like, oh, remember that? Like I see you when you've done that. And we're like, hey, like, you know, trying to make people laugh or tell a funny story or something like that. I do find those are my moments where I'm like, yes, okay, cool. This is who, or at least the person I want to be, like to portray as myself, you know?
Heck yeah.
Nice.
What's one thing you romanticize in everyday life?
I like to think of life like Toy Story. Where if you just think about things kind of having a little bit of like they're alive, but they're just kind of like asleep or pretending to be. So if you do have like a soft toy or maybe there's a chair right next to me and you're just kind of like, oops, sorry. Like I think that's just like a little bit of whimsy to add in life.
That's
right.
So like, do you feel sorry for like soft toys or inanimate objects?
My God. Yeah. Yes. All the time. Yeah, there's I think that's what Toy Story has ruined for me as an adult.
Yeah. I hate going to like the warehouse or Kmart and like walking past a soft toy that's been ditched and it's just sitting there alone and I'm like, I have to take this home.
I have to be your Andy.
I have to be your auntie. Yeah.
Or at least return it to its friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Have some fun in the warehouse.
That's dangerous territory for me. What's your favorite way to use a Sunday?
Ooh, I feel like Saturdays are the fun days where you go and do the things you want to do.
Yeah.
Sundays are the like things you, the life admin days. Sundays are like you do your clean, you do your taxes. I don't know. Like you do things that need to be done.
That doesn't sound like the ideal way to use your Sunday.
But I think for me, where it is like you're getting back into that like mindset of Monday, which does kind of stink because you are, you know, probably getting those like, what is it, Sunday scaries kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think for me, feeling that level of production. Even, you don't have to feel like you don't have to be productive on a Sunday, but I do enjoy having that like, okay, you've done something productive and then you can just like rot.
Yeah.
Just sit and maybe play a video game or something like that.
Nice. Good stuff. We should talk about video games later. Yeah. What would you tell your younger self now?
Ooh, great question. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like she would be also like, I think she would be, first of all, she would be upset that I wasn't a zookeeper, that I'm not working at like Australia Zoo with Steve Irwin. I think she would be upset by it.
I've met him.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Brag.
Yep.
Maybe you guys could take a trip to Australia Zoo together.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Have you been before?
Yeah, I have.
Nice.
You?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, right. Because you've seen the croc show. Yeah.
And that's where I met Steve.
Maybe we'll go this time and we'll see Robert.
Yeah.
Or Bindi. I did see Bindi when I was there.
How old would have you been?
I was in year three, so six, seven. Yeah.
How did you take the news when he passed away?
I think I was trying to act really cool about it.
New Zealand nonchalance.
Yeah. I was like, nah. Because I had a full Steve Irwin outfit.
Wrong context.
Yeah. I had a full Steve Irwin outfit.
A wig?
Not the wig, yeah. Just kind
if
of
only.
Just the Ranger uniform.
Oh, okay.
And I remember trying to play it cool. I remember being at mum used to work at a preschool and she had a coworker and the coworker was asking me about it. I'm like, oh no, I don't even care. And mum went, yes you do, you love him. Yeah. Nice.
I can't even remember how we got there.
Oh, it's
Oh, you could just appointed you in a zookeeper.
I wouldn't have been a zookeeper and so I would have been like well, now you're out in New Zealand, and I probably would have been like, where is that? But, you know, I think she would be pretty, I'd probably tell her to be like, yeah, literally what the advice I was giving before of like, just go do it.
Yeah.
You know, just do it.
Nice.
Sophia, and I mean, it's not a question, but leave a question for the next guest.
Yes. Okay. I had a good think about this.
Nice.
So if you could live in a movie or book Ooh. World, and you have to like exist in this world, like as who you are.
Okay, so as who? Okay,
yeah. Like I'm happy to like if you're really like I want to like for some reason live in the Hunger Games universe. Like I don't know why you'd want to do that, but like wild choice. But like maybe you're a little bit you'd be different because you had grown up in that world. Is the idea.
Do you have an answer?
See, this is hard because I would 100%. My first thought is the Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be really cool.
And fairly similar, not too much of an adjustment.
Yeah. So you still have like some things, but then like cool things exist. But then you also like, they, like I always think about in those books, Percy Jackson is always like, I don't be one. Don't be a demigod. Like, I hate this. And so it's like, okay, if he doesn't like it, maybe I wouldn't like it either if it was real.
Yeah.
That was my first thought.
That's cool. What about you, Anna?
Well, what's my favorite movie?
I'm drawing a blank. Shrek.
My first thought went to, wouldn't it be so cool? Like, I wouldn't want to be like Shrek or Shrek-esque living in a swamp per se, but like just being surrounded by fairy tale characters that like talk would be super cool.
Yeah. Amri could be Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
Boots. In Boots. That's
a great
shout. I'm disappointed in myself for not getting Shrek straight off the bat.
Yeah, the amount of time I talk about Shrek is crazy. What would you choose? Yeah.
I think I would want to be a Muppet.
But like in a specific Muppet movie?
You don't have to be in the Muppets, do you? You already are one.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I'd like to be a Muppet because I'm already a Muppet of a man. But in terms of a specific movie, I mean, Muppet's Treasure Island is fun.
That's one of my favorites.
I think just a Muppet in general.
Which one? Flail your arms around.
I'd be New Zealand.
Okay.
The Muppet.
Okay. It's New Zealand.
New Zealand. I'm so sorry. I'm glad we've got another Muppet fan in the house. But yeah, New Zealand. He's the one that blows things up.
Oh, he's like the fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Just like you.
I see it.
Right?
Just like me.
A bit fishy.
A bit fishy and likes fire.
Maybe I don't want to go to Australia Zoo with you.
Fantastic. On that note, I guess it brings us to the end of another Hope Centre pod.
Well done, everybody.
Well done. Nice. Thank you, Darcy, again for joining us.
Thank you.
A nice, quick-paced 51 minutes.
Oh.
And now it's home time.
I'm American. I talk East Coaster. I talk fast. So I was
No, appreciate that. Thanks, Omri, for co-hosting.
Thank you, Anna.
Yeah, no worries. Glad to be here as per usual. Thank you to ORFM for hosting us. Thank you to Life Matters and Platinum Recruitment for sponsoring this podcast. If you have any ideas for the podcast or wish to be a guest, please reach out to us at admin@lifematters.org.nz.
Ka kite anō.
Goodbye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page.
To see our current opening hours, just look up lifematters.org.nz. If you need support outside of these hours, free call or text 1737. If you would like to listen again or hear other episodes, go to oar.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.